and shouted, "Dad, have no fear." As I stretched high to store the stockings and trim in the attic for another year, we were busily packing our Christmas away while singing a carol we knew. When I heard my son in innocence inquire, "Do we store away Jesus too?" All year long we must worship day by day. Sleigh rides at night remind us all to stay in God's presence all year long. I smiled at my boy and again I explained God's longing to reconcile, how he gave to the world the gift of new life when his yearning became Mary's child. Though surrounded by all of man's goods, he embraced his hope of that Bethlehem night. We will never store his blessed gift away with the tinsel and colored lawn. Worship day by day, and all year long, 'tis the season to obey. May the Christmas tree lights and the sleigh rides at night remind us all to stay in God's presence. The sleigh rides at night remind us all to stay in God's presence all year long. In God's presence all year long.
Thank you. As we continue our time of worship this morning, we want to ask our children to come forward as we have our children's moment. All right. Now, in the spirit of complete transparency, I was made aware of what's in here and given instructions as to what to do with it, okay? So, can anyone tell me what this is?
A stone,
a rock. And guess what? There's one for each of you. Can you even believe it? Now, I'm going to hand them to you because I'm afraid if you all reach in the bag will get the brunt of this. And I'm sure you do. Here you go. All right. So, what do we do with stones? What do we do with rocks?
I want a red one.
You want a red one too, huh? Well, that's... Yeah, you can have that one. My goodness gracious. This is... That's kind of red. Yeah, go ahead. Has everyone got one? All right, come on. Is that everyone? All right. So, with stones, with rocks, do we use them to build things? Sometimes, right? Yeah, we use them to build things. We don't throw them at people, right? Well, they'll get hurt and silence you. All right, Jesus tells us in a story that he who is without sin casts the first stone. And so we got to remember that stones are used to build things and used as a source of protection. God talks about himself as the rock, as the great stone that the builders rejected. And he has become the chief cornerstone. And we remember with these rocks God's love and grace in our midst and the opportunity we have to be people who use these rocks and stones, and we use God to build people up, right? And not to tear people down and not to hurt people because far too often that can happen, and we want to be mindful of that. So that's what everyone's got a rock, right? So every time you see this rock, I want you to think of God, I want you to be reminded of God's love, and to be reminded that we have an opportunity to help build up and not to tear down, okay? So we're going to pray, and then you all can go to Children's Church with Miss Vicki. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, for your love and grace. We thank you for all that you do for us each and every day. Lord, we thank you that you are our rock, and that we can lean on you, and that we can find protection and guidance in your midst. We pray that you continue to be with these children. May they continue to teach us, and may we continue to learn and teach them as well. We ask all of these things in Christ's name. Amen. All right, you guys can go to Children's Church. Little birdie told me yesterday that one of our congregants has been emptying out his attic, and that Alan has probably something very unique and interesting to put in this bag. Now, little birdie told me not to give his name away, and so I promised Tim that I wouldn't tell him that he said that, and so we'll be good. So the Franks are gonna they've warned me that this is gonna be tricky. So if you'll join with me in prayer over this next week, that God gives me wisdom and discernment when it comes to their bag. That would be great. Our scripture lesson this morning comes from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. Over the next 9 weeks, we are going to consider the fruit of the Spirit. Now, I know what you're thinking. We're only going to spend 9 weeks on it? Yes, unfortunately, it will only be 9 weeks. We're going to look at each fruit over the course of these next several weeks, and we'll consider them. Now, I have two pet peeves when it comes to the Bible. And several of you know some of these, and maybe you don't know, but you'll be reminded about that. And my two pet peeves are this. When you talk about the book of Revelation, leave the S off of the end because there is no S there. It's Revelation, not Revelations. If somebody says Revelations, turn around and run. All right? Because they're going to use it as a weapon. The other pet peeve that I have is when people talk about the fruits of the Spirit. It is fruit, singular, fruit of the Spirit. Now, how many of us growing up in Sunday school had a picture of fruits of the Spirit? And there was an apple that said love, and a banana that said peace, and an orange that said joy, right? And a kiwi or some random fruit that nobody likes that said patience, right? We can throw that one away. Now, I know it may seem silly, but if we pluralize the fruits of the Spirit and we continue to think about it in terms of this basket or cornucopia of things, the implication is that we can take out the ones we don't like and put them away. But when we talk about it as singular fruit, we know and we recognize that they all must be present, that they are all part of it. All right? So that's why it's a pet peeve of mine, and it may seem silly, but if I hear you say fruits of the Spirit, I'm going to correct you. If I hear you say revelations, I'm going to correct you. How many of you have been corrected by me or annoyed by me when I've done that? Yeah. Okay, all right. So fair warning. I've put it out there. So with that being said, we're going to dive right in. We're going to read Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. Hear now the word of our Lord. This is why I, Paul, am a prisoner of Christ for you Gentiles. You've heard, of course, about the responsibility to distribute God's grace, which God gave to me for you, right? God showed me his secret plan in a revelation, as I mentioned briefly before. When you read this, you'll understand my insight into the secret plan about Christ. Earlier generations didn't know this hidden plan that God has now revealed to his holy apostles and prophets through the Spirit. This plan is that the Gentiles would be co-heirs and parts of the same body, and that they would share with the Jews in the promises of God in Christ Jesus through the gospel. I became a servant of the gospel because of the grace that God showed me through the exercise of his power. God gave his grace to me, the least of all God's people, to preach the good news about the immeasurable riches of Christ to the Gentiles. God sent me to reveal the secret plan that has been hidden since the beginning of time by God, who created everything. God's purpose is now to show the rulers and powers in the heavens the many different varieties of his wisdom through the church. This was consistent with the plan he had from the beginning of time that he accomplished through Christ Jesus our Lord. In Christ, we have bold and confident access to God through faith in him. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray together. Gracious God, we thank you again for this day, for the many blessings you have given to us. We pray that you would be with the reading of this your word. May it open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, our hearts to receive, our minds to understand. And may we, in the strength of the bodies you have given to us, be faithful to your call upon us. Be with the words you have given me this day. May they be yours and not mine. And we ask all of these things in Christ's name. Amen. In 2001, my spiritual goal for the following year that we went over with our family was to love better, to know more of what love is, because I had recently, at that point, accepted the call of Jesus to be a minister. I didn't know what that would look like or how that would play out. I didn't use a lot of excuses. I used some, but not a lot, to try to get out of that. I didn't use the excuse of Moses. Moses, as we know, of course, had the condition of balbutiating, which is, of course, to stutter or to stammer. And I don't stutter or stammer, so I knew I couldn't use that excuse. But I finally gave in to the call of Jesus. And I knew that if I was going to be a preacher, I was going to have to be able to love people. I don't know if you know this, but I was kind of a jerk growing up. I know that doesn't seem like it could even be possible, but it was. Thank you for your nervous laughter. And so my desire was to love better, to know more of what love was. And this exploration of love continues today as I seek to learn all I can about what love is and about what love is not. As I seek to learn how love is meant to be expressed and how love is not meant to be expressed. And as I continue to figure out how I can receive love from God and from others, and how I can show love to God and to others. And I don't know about you, but receiving love is far more difficult than giving love. And how might I receive that love well? Now, Paul, in his letter to the Galatians in chapter 5, gives us the fruit of the Spirit. And I think what he shows us in the ordering of these fruit of the Spirit is that love is the starting point for this fruit. Love is what initiates and begins. Now, we've seen in the reading of this passage today that it is God who is doing all of these things, and he is using Paul to do them, but God is the primary actor. And I think it's important that we recognize love is first, because, again, it initiates. And I believe this is the case because, as we're told in 1 John, God is love. We would not understand love if we did not know God and if he did not reveal himself to us. We understand this in the Methodist Church as prevenient grace, that love and that grace which goes before, that grace and that love which calls us to God and which introduces us to God in the first place. Now, you see the diagram that I've made. It's a very crude diagram, but it is a diagram nonetheless, and you've got a handout. And you'll see love is there, and you'll see it kind of gets bigger. And as we introduce joy and peace and patience, love grows and love expands. Love gets bigger. But I don't think that love is the goal of the fruit of the Spirit. I think the goal is self-control. And when we are able to control self by God's grace, we are able to exhibit love and joy and peace and all of these things the way they were meant to be shown, the way they were meant to be lived out. Because love inevitably leads to joy. If we have love, we will be happy. We will be joyful. Love and joy then, of course, lead to peace. If we have love, if we are filled with joy, there will be a sense of peace that we have towards God and towards each other. And if we have love and joy and peace, patience is going to bear witness. It's going to be present. And that, of course, leads to kindness, because we know if we're patient with others, we will be kind towards them, right? And then that kindness leads to goodness. And I don't think this is any goodness, but I think this is the goodness that God described in Genesis when he created the world. And he saw that it was good. And when we can have love and joy and peace and patience and kindness, we will be the good that we were originally intended to be. That will then, of course, lead to being faithful. Faithful to God and faithful to others, which will lead then to gentleness. Because in our faithfulness towards God and others, we will seek to correct and help each other, but we'll do so in a gentle way. And then self-control, I think, is the realization of all of these things being lived out, being understood, coming to fruition. I think self-control is the realization of a sanctified life. Now, when we talk about sanctification in the Methodist Church, what we are talking about is being made perfect in love. Love has continued to grow and continued to expand until we are able to love as God loves, which encompasses all these things. And when we can do that, we can control our actions. How many of us today maybe had some goals for 2019? Two of us, okay. The rest of you need to get on that. How often do these goals focus around self-control? I need to eat less. I need to exercise more. I need to do this. I need to do that. And it's all about how we control ourselves, right? That's usually what these come to. And so I think we've known that, but now we're being able to see that a little more clearly. But it all starts with love. It cannot start anywhere else, because God is love. God is the initiator. We are celebrating today Epiphany, the recognition by these three Gentile persons that God has initiated. And they come to bring him gifts. Paul's letter to Ephesus emphasizes God's love for all people, for each and every one of us, and his desire for Jews and Gentiles to worship together, to be together, to recognize each other as people created by God, initiated with love, just as we are. And especially in this passage, we see that written out. Paul tells us in verse 12 that in Christ, we have bold and confident access to God through faith. This access is given to us by God because of his love for us. Because we can't have access without his love. We all start with, and we are because of love. Because we have been created in God's image. We are loved by God this morning, whether we want to admit it or not. Every last one of us exists because God is love. And because he decided to showcase his love through each and every one of us. We are uniquely and wonderfully made and created, and we have the opportunity to continue to grow in our understanding of who God is and who we are. And that's what this process of the fruit of the Spirit represents, that growth in grace, because God is love. Jesus came to show us that we are loved, all of us, and that we should in turn love God and love others. Everything we do and everything we are able to do stems from God's love. There are those of us here this morning that believe. We believe in God. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. This is because God has given us the capability to do that, because God is love. There may be some here this morning, and certainly others around, who don't believe. And this is because God is love, and he has given all of us the opportunity to choose whether to love him in return or not. Everything God does is because of love. And everything we do should be in response to that love. Because when it is in response to that love, there will be joy. There will be peace. There will be patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. Everything we see and experience is a result of God's initiating love. This wonderful weather we're having in winter, God's love. The rain, the snow, the sleet, the sunshine, the beaches, the mountains, all of these things exist because God is love. It is because of love that God created the universe. It is because of love that God formed each and every one of us, and it is because of love that God seeks to redeem and reconcile us when our love fails and when we turn away. Love is something that we receive first and foremost. We receive it from God. Love is something that we respond to, and we have the opportunity to share in and give to others. When we look at what love is, we can see very quickly that it is not merely an emotion or a feeling. We do well to remember that. Rather, it is a gift of the Holy Spirit given to each and every one of us. Paul tells us that. It's given to us. We have that capability. We can respond to this love in one of two ways. We can respond to this love the way the wise men responded to that love, and we can begin that journey. We can take our very best to Christ. Or we can respond to that love as Herod, and we can be paranoid, and we can try to destroy that love. We can accept it, or we can reject it. And the beautiful thing about love is that it's our decision. It's up to us to decide how we will respond. And know this morning that however you respond to that love, either positively or negatively, it is because God loves you that you are able to respond. Now, I hope and pray this morning that all of us will respond in the affirmative, that all of us will respond like these magi, that all of us will respond in ways that seek to grow love in our life and in the lives of others. But that's a process. It's easy to become a Christian. The difficulty lies in the road then that we travel, the work that we are called to. But we are not called to do it alone. We are called to do it with others. We don't know how many magi came. We typically think there were three because of the three gifts, but we know it wasn't just one guy. It wasn't just one person. It was a community. And I hope and pray and trust that as a community of God here in Elkton, Kentucky, that we may continue to search for Jesus, that we may continue to find Jesus, that we may continue to give him the best of who we are and the gifts that we are able to give, knowing that God has given to us in his initiating love the very life of his Son, as represented today before us in the sacrament of Holy Communion. Ladies and gentlemen, as we enter 2019, may we journey. May we recognize the love of God our Father, and may we seek to understand that love better and share that love with others. Gracious God, we thank you so very much for this day, for your love and your grace, for all that you do for us, for your mercies that are new each day. We pray that you would continue to guide and lead us in all things, and we ask this all in Christ's name. Amen.